opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
On. Testing. Do you not hear yourself?
Testing, testing. There we are.
There you are.
It's working. It must have been rain damage.
Rain damage.
Must have been rain damage.
Which is close to brain damage.
I know, right? Good evening, Northern California. It is, what is it? March 29th already? Like,
grab
oh my
your seat.
God.
Sit down. Put some headphones
it's our,
on.
It's our dude.
I know.
Good morning. What is it? March 29th, 2023. And look, it's not raining.
For a split second.
Yeah, for a minute.
Right. It's going to rain some more, right, I think?
It says it is, and then it says it's a little dry, and then it's supposed to rain again next week.
Are we allowed to use yesterday as a benchmark? Where were you when it was, like, torrential rain?
I must have been, I don't know what I was.
What time of day was it?
I know, I'm like, what's happening?
It was crazy yesterday.
Yeah.
Did it just rain hard? Is that all it was
yeah.
that we were talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I got vendors that were supposed to come in today to the store, and they were like, we can't make it, we're snowed in.
Well, I found myself on the 5 freeway. Down here, down south, and it got to the point where you couldn't even see other.
Oh, wow.
It's really crazy. So, but anyway, that being said,
yeah.
It does, this kind of weather is perfect for our guest here, right?
Big, big muddy daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, we try to stay out of the mud as much as possible. We do get in the mud once in a while, and that is fun, though.
So, I noticed around town there are lots of people with Jeeps and 4Runners and all kinds of off-road vehicles. And if you've never actually used them as intended.
Which is the majority of people.
Yeah.
Vast majority.
Yeah. We have the perfect opportunity for you. And
I wonder if that equals a lot of business for SJ Denim.
Yes.
Or if they're buying from out of town.
Well, I just got mine from SJ.
I know, but you're a good guy.
But Justin, and I got to tell you, it was amazing to deal with, very easy.
You did an upgrade.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your vehicle now suits you.
Okay.
Your other vehicle did not.
Cool. Well, so for me, for the last couple of years, I'd say about 3 years, 3 years ago, I started paying attention to this whole thing called overlanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when 2020 hit, a lot of people started looking, you know, looking at things to do outside, outdoors, or something different. So I started looking at overlanding. For those who don't know what overlanding is, we're going to have our guest Brett give the perfect definition of overlanding.
Oh, did you ever see? Did you ever see craziness? People overlanding while they were all in a caravan overlanding and had masks on in their trucks.
I have not seen that. No.
This would be the exact opposite of that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. This would I think this would not be conducive to.
I'm just being an A.
So overlanding is a relatively newish term, shall we say?
It's a newer marketing term for something that people have been doing
forever.
And that's car camping.
Yeah.
You know, using your vehicle to travel and live out of camp.
We used to do overlanding then, I guess, when I was a kid in the 70s. My dad's Toyota, what do you call it? Toyota, what did they have? Those really cool Jeeps.
Oh, yeah, that one. Land Cruiser.
Land Cruiser, thank you very much. We used to live doing that. I didn't know I was doing a thing then.
Yes. and so, yeah, overlanding is just a new marketing term for car camping that we've all been doing forever. And Land Cruisers are still very popular for overlanding and car camping.
And probably some of the old originals that have people have kept up.
Yes.
It's super cool. We used to go to it was one of those situations, I think, where my dad, along when he was naive, hey, I've got some land for you, right? And we bought, I don't know, maybe it was like a 5 or 10 acre plot in Alturas back in the 70s. So I just remember we used to go there all the time because my dad built me a great big fort, like a big wood fort. Out of just logs, right? And then we had the Land Cruiser, and then we pulled one of those little pop-up trailers.
Oh, cool.
Where, you know, they like pop-up.
That's exactly
and
what
I have great memories of it, other than when driving there. You know, that must have been, what, an hour and a half, two-hour drive? I don't know. It seemed like an eternity when I was a kid, right? But I remember one night a big old bear came up and pushed the camper over. And we were inside of it, and it just went. It was awesome.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
So Brett, you own and run Overlanders HQ.
Correct.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
So,
his name is Brett.
My name is Brett. I started Overlanders HQ end of 2020 as a way to help people learn how to overland. I am somebody that didn't grow up learning how to, or I didn't grow up off-roading and camping. And I feel like there's a lot of people in our community and in the nation that want to get into overlanding and camping and adventuring by themselves and just don't know how to take that first step and how to do it safely by themselves. So what we are here for is to help people outfit their vehicles and how to learn how to safely operate your vehicle off-road and overland, learning where to go and how to do it.
I was going to say that would be for me the biggest thing. Like I just always am afraid I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
Right. Going somewhere I'm not going to be. I even do that when we go cut our Christmas tree down.
I was
going
to say that.
Here's the map. And then I'm like, are we in the right place? Can we cut here?
Right. And so we use Gaia is a mapping application that we use. Okay. Onyx Off-Road is another one. The one that we prefer. And what's really cool is they have an overlay on there that has a private land and public land overlay, so you can always know
where you are
and whether you're allowed to be there.
Okay.
Where you'll get shot and where you won't.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
I was going to say, do they also show you where all the dope fields are in Trinity County? So,
yeah,
and
they do.
And,
they do.
You're like, yeah, they do. Okay,
and in Shasta County,
yeah.
They away.
So I got to hand it to Brett because I would say I met you. What was that? When was that? A
couple years ago.
Yeah, and I'm with all these trucks and stuff hanging up. I'm like, yeah, one of these days. And I told you, one of these days, one of these days.
I did it,
and I got to hand it to you, man, because we went. What is it? 2 weeks ago. In his, so you do monthly.
We do monthly group runs.
They're
varied difficulties.
Yeah.
And they're in 4 month cycles: a beginner's, intermediate, advanced, and then overnight run. So you came on our beginner's run.
Yeah. So we came on your beginner's run, and Kim, my Kim, who has the FJ. Mm-hmm. And so
I like that, Mike Kim.
Yeah. So we just made it a family affair. We had two cars. We had she has the FJ. I got the Hulk, and we brought the kids along and everything. And I got to hand it to you because she was pretty nervous about
driving,
going off road, and when we came to that that rut and everything, and give it a shot. But you were very, very calming and motivating, right? And
you were like, structurally, your car has a roll cage in it. You'll be fine.
No, but it was good. I mean, what you were saying is, any kind of insecurities where you are, what you're doing with your car.
Yeah,
you did great in.
Well, that's good to know because I think that would be awesome for me and the kids. I'd love to go do that.
It's a great.
So, what classifies as a vehicle that you just something that has four wheel drive or
all wheel drive?
All wheel drive, okay.
All wheel drive would be the minimum.
Okay.
Need.
I have a Toyota Tundra.
That will be just fine
with four wheel drive.
That would be just fine. And
it's already beat up, so if anything happens,
even better.
Yeah.
Even better. So what we do when we post our runs each month, our runs are on the third Sunday of the month every month. Mm. We post, try to give a good description of what to expect on the trail, so that way you can decide if that trail is going to be right for you.
Yeah.
Some trails are easy open trails that are good for everybody. Other trails, the more advanced trails are more advanced, mm-hmm. where we have to winch vehicles up hills and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd probably start out at a beginner's with everybody and we just move our way up, but feel them out, right? Like, oh, that was cool, that was easy, that was good, and then, whoa.
I feel like Nico's done a little bit of this.
He does. Know, he does Ezra. With his friends. Yeah,
yeah.
They do that. They just naturally, they're like, oh, I have a car, it's got four-wheel drive, here we go.
Exactly.
Yep. This run was great. There were about 20 vehicles, I would say.
Yeah.
Something like that?
A little bit less, yeah.
15?
15 to 20, somewhere in there.
And so you're going in a pack, you're going in a group, so you're not by yourself. You won't get lost, James. Don't worry, it's all good.
Oh, I don't mind about getting lost. I just don't want to break the law and be shot at.
Of the, let's say, 15, 20 cars that show up in this last group, how many were locals and how many were from out of the area?
This last run, it was a little bit heavier on the locals because of the weather. It was raining pretty good, and so that kept a lot of the people, you know, that typically come from out of town from coming. But typically it's about half from the Bay Area, Sacramento, that area.
That, to me, is really cool.
See,
I
it's
like
a
that.
It's an attraction.
Good for you, yeah. You've created a great – that's a great thing.
So we get – it is a great thing for the community in the fact that we have people coming up the night before, staying in a hotel, buying food, buying fuel, spending the day. And then a lot of times, if it's a longer run – they'll stay a second night before heading
home. Yeah, so cool.
That was actually pretty cool because the weather was a little nuts, and it made for a great great trail riding. It was awesome.
Yeah, you know me. I'm looking at my wife. She's sitting here, and I'm like, part of that sounds a lot of fun, and part of it is like I'm like a cat. I don't like to get wet. So if I'm
To the summer months.
I would have to really plan it. Like, you know, like I have to prepare myself mentally that I'm going to get wet and muddy.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Well,
it is.
Because if I don't have like a nice, luxurious shower somewhere to rinse off, I'm going to be miserable.
Yeah, it's called a lake.
So that's where overlanding, like we have a shower on the truck.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's.
I was going to say, if there's lake, if it's a body of water, I'm okay. I just need to find water.
We'll get more into this in a minute. Let's take a first 2-minute break.
Okay.
And, we'll come back and explore this more in detail.
Cool.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. We're looking at car pictures.
Yeah, he's flashing it's his cruiser.
So if you're within earshot here and
paint shop.
If you're within earshot and you have a Jeep or a 4x4, 4Runner or something, and you've never used it as intended, that's what we're talking about now. We have Brett with us from Overlanders HQ. If you commute or drive past Victor and Cypress, right? On Victor there's a nice little building there. It says Overlanders HQ. That's where you're located.
I would have to say that I'm proud of you because as we're talking here, you're talking about using the vehicle for what they were designed to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you right now, in my heart of hearts and my brain, if I bought your truck, it would have never touched the dirt.
Then why would you buy that truck?
Because it's just an absolute lovely vehicle. But
it is.
But I would have to have a second vehicle that was just – had been bought used for off-roading. I don't think I could sleep at night knowing there were scratches and all that running down.
Oh, no. It's already got his first pinstripes. Yeah.
I'm sick.
No, it's great.
That's what it's for.
It's how he was raised. It's a thing.
Okay, so no Ferraris. So no Ferraris for you then. Great. So we're talking about overlanding. Mm-hmm. Basically, like you said, I would say it's a glorified car camping, but car camping doesn't sound as cool as overlanding.
That's why it's a thing.
That's why,
it's a marketing term.
Overlanding is cool. It's taking your car, your truck. And you either put your camping gear in it or on top of it.
Yeah, I like the on top stuff. The
on
pictures.
Top stuff. And you just go. What I like about the off road stuff or the overlanding piece is that it is more about getting off the road, going on the trails and going camping places where you normally couldn't go camping.
Mm-hmm. Right? Just making your own campsite.
Yeah, dispersed camping mm-hmm. is what it's called. Camping where there's not bathrooms, running water. Mm-hmm. You're taking everything with you and taking it all back. And that is one really cool thing about overlanding is this self-reliance.
No trace.
Yep.
Sustainability.
Yep.
And so you run Overlanders at Shoes, a company here in town, and every third?
Third Sunday of the month.
you do these group runs. And I was convinced that this could be a big thing for our area.
It should be.
And so we want to try and help this whole community grow because I think it's something. So what's the next run? Do you know yet?
The next run actually just got posted today.
Okay.
Or yesterday. It is going to be the Bagley Mountain Trail. So it's the Bagley Mountain Loop off of Fenders Ferry Road, which is east of Reading off of Highway 299.
Okay.
In between Reading and Burney. Is Fenders Ferry Road.
He knows all of his stuff.
He knows his trail. That's why he's here.
It's so like so precise, right? Like you're like, wow, that's a thing, right? Like,
see, because
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I would be like, it's over there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm like,
he's got the Gaia.
Yeah,
it's all about the Gaia.
So this is going to be an intermediate
level run. So the difference between a beginner's level run and an intermediate level run will be larger ruts and rocks in the road. So that one rut that we attempted on our beginner's run that was off the trail, it'll be trails consisting mostly of stuff like that.
Okay, cool.
It went from the one that you passed through all the way.
and it's still not the whole trail, just more sections like that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where what would normally take you, let's say, 30 minutes to drive now takes you 4 hours, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
So how did you get into overlanding yourself, you and your family? This is a family thing, right?
It is a family thing, and that is – so I got started in overlanding on a camping trip with my daughter. I took my daughter when she turned 11. This is about 4 or 5 years ago. When she turned 11, she wanted to go camping. And I said, great, I'll take you camping. I know of a lake, and I had nothing. I had to borrow a tent to take her, a sleeping bag. Like, we didn't have
really anything. At least you didn't have to borrow the lake.
Didn't have to borrow the lake. That nature provided that. And it was talking with her on that trip about what makes us happy in life and what we want out of life and how to achieve that. And that gave me the idea to start a company doing my hobby and be able to go to work every day and enjoy going to work and what I do personally instead of going to work and not enjoying life. And
gosh, are you sure you're not
teaching
gonna,
life lessons, exactly. Which is important.
Are you sure you're not going to write a book? That was very inspirational.
Maybe.
So your 11-year-old daughter gave you the...
Gave me the idea
so cool.
of doing something that made me happy mm-hmm. instead of making money.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be really good at drinking, and July 31st, I'll be 3 years sober, and so that was also kind of a big, mm-hmm. big part of that transition into finding something that brought me joy every day, mm-hmm. you know, and found a reason to...
And true connection with your daughter, right?
Oh, definitely.
Because I come from an alcoholic family that being in that position numbs you from feeling the real feelings that people want to have, like with your daughter, right?
The connection,
the connection,
yeah.
Right? So I'm not looking a little tear up here. I mean, that's so awesome.
So what I did is I took a year off of work and was like, okay, I'm gonna just take my kids camping for a year and see how we like it. And so I took a year off of work and we just went all around Shasta County. Went on a bunch of trips and was like, okay, this
That's where you learned the land, the lay of the land.
It is, yeah. And so and decided to take those next steps to start a company and help other people do the similar similar activities.
Wow. That's
so
wicked. I like that.
I started researching this whole overlanding thing about 3-4 years ago. And YouTube is – they have some really good overlander channels,
yes.
Right?
Oh yeah,
and it's actually very inspirational. I think you know, there's a couple of channels. The Story Till Now.
Yep,
you know
that's
that?
A great one. Yes,
he's got some amazing stuff. I like Matt from Ozark Overland Adventures, right? And there's a few more. Any of you?
Four Wheel Drive 24/7 is an Australian overlanding.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this whole time. I've been thinking about it. Is that where overlanding really like developed or got its niche or
Australia.
Name or
yes,
something with Australia?
That's where the activity got its niche.
Okay,
but not the name. They
not
don't
the
call
name.
It overlanding there.
Do they call it outbacking?
They call it driving tracks or just going.
Okay.
But they
always have clever names.
Yeah, they don't call it trails. They call it tracks.
Yeah.
And so Four Wheel Drive 24/7 was a channel I started watching early on. It gave me a lot of inspiration into the actual overlanding part of it. And what I liked about them was it was always about the adventure. Mm. It wasn't about the gear. It wasn't about the vehicles. It was about the adventure.
Mm.
And that's, as a company, our focus is to help people find their adventure.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about... You know, do you have this specific vehicle
or tent?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because you could very easily turn that into something that then becomes kind of dividing by people, right?
Yes.
Monetizing it. As soon as you put the dollar amount on it,
yep.
People get, you know, there are people that can't afford. I mean, it's expensive, that gear, right?
It can
so,
be.
So, like, if you're going with a group of people and they've got this brand new, you know, $100,000 this and that and it's all that, you might feel a little bad. But if you really keep it about, like, nobody gives a crap about your car.
Yep.
They give a crap about what are you doing during the day when you're running around outside and swimming and doing whatever it is that you're doing when you're out of your vehicle. Enjoying the nature.
It's about the
activity. The people.
Yeah, it's about the activity. So, like, my vehicle that I drive on most runs, we didn't take it on the last run, is an old Chevy truck.
Mm.
And we drive that and lead runs in that for the purpose of showing people you don't need a brand new Toyota 4Runner.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a brand new.
I know. I decided to buy a new one because I know myself. When I buy a vehicle.
But it was time.
I know that I'm going to drive it for 10, 15, 20 years, and I'm going to run it into the ground. And my other thought was, because I just had the opportunity to do it this one time, but if I'm going to buy something that's meant for off-road, I want to buy something that no one else has taken off-road yet, because I don't know if it's been beaten up or whatever.
Right? I mean, we still have a 4Runner, and we still have a Land Cruiser, you know, so it's...
And then you bring a bag of rocks to sleep on to show them how tough you are.
But we like the Land Cruiser doesn't have a rooftop tent on it currently, and we've gone on trips and slept in the back of that to show people you don't need a rooftop tent to go overlanding. You know, you can, and so on our overnight runs, we always encourage people without rooftop tents to come.
You know,
it's about the activity, not about the gear.
If we go, I would say that if it was an overnight thing, we'd be either sleeping on the ground or in the back of the truck.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it somewhat like whitewater rafting where you would actually be able to judge the type of terrain? Is there a way to measure it like they do that in whitewater rafting?
Oh, they give it a score?
Yeah, a score.
We give it a score of easy, medium, and hard.
Okay.
There are like apps like OnX Off-Road with some trails. They do have like a 0 to 10 mm-hmm. scale system.
Okay.
And there are some trails out there in the nation where it's Jeeps only.
Yeah, or buggies only, and
just because something else wouldn't make it.
Right.
You could have a chance.
Very extreme. And with overlanding, it is a lot of off-roading and adventuring to new places and places you can't get to by road. And there is a lot of, you know, harder four-wheel drive type stuff, but that isn't the main focus.
Mm-hmm.
There are other groups in our area that are, you know, off-roading and hard off-roading is their focus. Mm. Our focus is getting out for the adventure.
For me, it's not, I don't want to do too much of that because my, you know, Go to the chiropractor. You know,
I was going to say.
It gets expensive.
You don't want the twins thrown through the windshield with the cars rolling down a 100-foot cliff. There go the girls out the window.
Well, they would just look at it as a roller coaster ride. But so we're talking about overlanding here with Brett from Overlanders HQ on Victor. Want to support his business, love what he's doing, taking groups of people off-road. Is that it? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I guess this is our another 2-minute break, and we'll be right back. I got no regret right now.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
That's a good guitar sound.
Can you feel it?
Yep.
I can see myself 2 hands on the wheel.
Good evening, Northern California. Nigel and James. We have Vaughn and we have Brett with us. We're talking about overlanding. Overlanding, you know,
much
simple way of putting
underlanding.
Yes, it is. If you have a Jeep or a 4Runner or any kind of four-wheel drive vehicle and you've never used it as intended, taking it off-road, and you want to have like a smooth transition into it and experience it, it's a lot of fun, like you said. I mean, what a great way to spend a Sunday. We have Brett with us, who runs Overlanders HQ on Victor. People can, you seem to be almost always there, so people can just drop in and say hi.
Yep, we're there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Well, anytime in there.
And that's called dedication. So you have a shop in the back.
Yes.
So you also help with people's trucks, or you?
Yep, so we do.
Thank God, this whole time I've been looking at your hand, and I'm like, are you sure? It looks like you've been, like, rebuilding motors.
Yeah, we did a motor swap last week.
Okay, so well, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, so we have a full-service shop. One of the biggest things about going off-road is wear and tear on your vehicle. You will add more wear and tear on your vehicle going off-road than you will driving on-road. So we do a lot of, like, differential service, transfer case services, stuff like that to keep your vehicle running pristine when you're on the trail.
Brakes.
Sure. Brakes. Brakes are important, yes.
Sometimes brakes are highly overrated. Let me see here. So Shasta County, in our area, right, I would say it's pretty much an ideal location. Right, Northern California, Southern Oregon, this whole area here, isn't it kind of like an ideal location for overlanding, taking your car off-road and either for the day or for the week.
You
right?
can. This area is absolutely pristine. If you're looking to get away and get out by yourself and just enjoy some time with nature and not see any other people, you can easily do that here. Anywhere between here and Southern Oregon, there's hundreds of thousands of miles of trails that you can take. You can make a day trip, a week-long trip. So, like in June, we have a week-long trip that will kind of tie together all of our one-day trails that we take and turn that into a week-long, five-day, four-night trip.
So this is great, right? So this is Shasta County, right?
All in Shasta.
All in Shasta County.
Oh, wow.
Five days, four nights, off-roading.
Off-road, all in Shasta County. So we'll start out on the southwest corner of Shasta County, go up the backside of Bully Chute Mountain, and then go along. It's called County Line Road. That'll take you all the way up. It goes along the Shasta and Trinity County lines. Take you all the way up, go by Trinity Lake and Shasta Lake, and then go around the north side of Lake Shasta. We'll go all the way up into Big Bend, which is a small little community with an Iron Canyon Reservoir, hit some hot springs out of Big Bend, and then come up the backside of Hatchet Mountain, go under the windmills, and then go up Burning Mountain, go to the top of Burning Mountain, which has a really nice lookout, and then finish in the Lassen National Forest.
I'll bake the snacks.
Lots of snacks.
So would this be considered then an advanced?
So this is a great question on the overnight runs. The overnight runs are typically going to be an intermediate level run.
Great. So
that sounds fantastic.
So I'm serious because I want to find a way to promote this. I know we're going to keep a secret. I don't know how many. We're going to have a limit to how many people.
We are going to limit it to about 15 to 20 rigs, just because any more than that, it's going to be hard to find a spot for everyone to camp.
Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, it's nice when things are, you know, smaller and manageable, right? Because everything in the world can get out of hand.
So our single day, well, actually our last overnight run, we had 38 vehicles.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Wow.
So, and that was...
That sounds like a party.
It wasn't a party at all. We're not the party crowd.
He's 3 years sober.
Yeah, 3 years sober, not the party crowd.
You could do that with chocolate milk. I'm down with any kind of party.
But it was absolutely wonderful. The people that come with us, we just have an outstanding group of people. And that's what makes these trips great, having the great group of people. And on that one, it was mostly people from out of town. And we did the Hog's Back Trail out of Red Bluff. And that was a trail that was easy to accommodate that many vehicles.
Okay.
And so we will limit the amount of vehicles dependent on the trail and what our plan is.
And it's just a first-come, first-serve sign-up?
Exactly.
What is something, like, I mean, I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts because it's really not the most important, but just for general purposes, what are you looking at as far as fee to sign up to do one of these kind of things?
Currently, we are not charging a fee.
See, I've been hounding him.
I almost fell off my stool. Are you crazy?
Our goal is to get people involved in this activity.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to provide the least amount of restrictions possible.
Well, let me tell you this. Here's a little thing.
Here comes James.
If you want to do that, that's great, because that's you're blessing your community, right? So bless your community where people aren't paying. But your friends from out of town, from San Francisco, they have an intense illness where they must pay a lot for things for it to be something important.
And they pay without us charging.
I know. There there you go. See, that'll tell you a lot. That'll
you
tell
you
a lot.
Tips. You
could
take tips.
We do donation. Take tips. We donation. Do take tips.
Because I can assure you the people in the Bay Area would pay you a bloody fortune for that.
Sometimes the tips are more than what you would charge.
Exactly.
No, they are. I know. People get very joyous and stuff. But so I'm just thinking for you guys as far as...
From our perspective... If we charge a fee that was too much for somebody, they'll never get into the activity.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't charge anything, they'll get into the activity, and then we have a store for them to come purchase products from.
Okay. I was going to say you could build a scholarship.
What kind of stuff do you sell at your store, Overlanders Issue?
So we sell everything you need to get out and start overlanding. So like an air compressor. It's something that is highly recommended to be able to air up your tires if you get a flat tire, a tire repair kit, air down tools.
Spare tire.
Spare tires are also helpful.
I'm looking at you like, oh, no, I just need a spare tire because I'm not doing all that.
So I don't run a spare tire on any of my rigs.
Because you need the room, weight?
Right, the room and the weight, and so we use tire repair kits and stuff like that.
Then
instead.
You go, okay, well, that makes sense.
Yep.
So, yeah, I need the common sense to be handed to me, and then I can uptake it.
Right.
How many times have you had a flat tire on the trails?
20, 30. Okay. I have no idea. It happens frequently.
And is that mostly because, like, a wall gets punctured from a stone or something?
Yeah, stone or stick. Yeah. That's pretty common.
Sticks and stones. Yeah. I'm telling you.
They will break your tires. So it happens frequently. And we've done classes in the past, and we do have classes upcoming. They're not scheduled yet on tire repair classes.
I'll be taking that one.
So how?
I was going to say that one would be just good to know.
Yep. How to repair your tire on the trail with just a few basic tools.
My favorite will be how to repair your tire when it's split completely in half.
Call an Uber.
Yeah, need a spare tire for that case. So we sell all the tools you need to get started in overlanding. And in overlanding, you can spend a little bit or all the money in the world. Mm-hmm. So we have all those options available for you. And we go over, what you're looking for in your build and how you use your vehicle. And then we try to match you with the best products for you.
Hit on something. Obviously, there's a lot here, the whole overlanding bit, but it's also a good community, right? The overlanding community. I've noticed, even some of these channels, they'll get 500,000 views on their videos. Easy, right?
Yeah.
Seems to be a growing thing. Even these overland expos around the country, they seem to be pretty
big
and growing and massive. Yep. And so there seems to be two schools of thought here. Some of those who are saying, nope, don't want any new people getting into this, right?
Yep.
And then there's people like James, like me, and like probably like you, like, hey.
How come I'm always put in a different category than the rest of the world?
You're special.
I know, right?
that feel like, hey, this is for everybody, if this is what you want to do.
Yeah. It's, I've done many activities in my life, sports and all sorts of different things, and you're always going to have that crowd of, hey, this is our thing. Nobody else can do it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the surfers on the coast.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
Their territorial. This is my wave.
This is, yeah. and you'll see that out on the trails. Oh, this is my trail. No, it's not. This is National Forest. Yeah, <right. laughs> this isn't your personal lake.
We all pay taxes.
Yeah.
So. Have you connected with any of the car dealers in town to be able to say, hey, by the way, this is Overlanders Date Shoe. This is what we do. Whenever you have a new, customer with your 4x4, send them our way so that we can break it for them.
So like Lithia Toyota, we work with them a lot on new customers and, customers that are coming in. Hey, I want to buy a Toyota to do overlanding. Great. Here, go work with Overlanders HQ.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm already sitting here going, so with my kids, I'm like, all my kids can put a little bit of money in. We all put money in together, right? We buy a really cool used old Toyota Land Cruiser, and then we start, working it. I'm looking at him like,
maybe not. Maybe not a Land Cruiser.
$29,000 for a 1995 Land Cruiser with almost 200,000 miles. I'm like, good Lord.
So listen, I've been doing my research. So Land Cruisers.
That's more than a new car.
Hold their value. Yes.
And Land Cruisers are an investment.
Yeah. And I kind of knew that, but I was still shocked.
Yeah, they're currently appreciating, not depreciating.
You should look up the the 2022 Land Cruiser Heritage Edition if you can find one.
They're expensive, I'm sure.
Used about $129,000.
Yep. Yeah, Toyota's really built a name for themselves in that whole little all their trucks, everything is so expensive.
They are. They're not cheap, but I'll tell you,
they last
seeing
forever.
Them out on the trail, they just work.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I mean, they've done it. I mean, like I said, I have a 2008 Toyota Tundra, and it's got 215,000 miles on it, and it is beat up. But I'll tell you what, it drives just like I bought it.
Yeah.
I'm always just like, wow.
Yeah, it drives like you bought it.
Has it changed? Like, it feels new.
Yeah.
So we're talking about overlanding. Go ahead.
How do you market your business? How do you get people from the Bay Area?
Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat.
Do you take videos when you're out?
We do. So we have a YouTube channel, and it's Overlanders HQ Adventures. Go subscribe.
Yeah.
And
how many followers currently?
Six or 700.
Okay.
In there, not very many.
No, but I mean, it's hard. So we need to get it going.
No, we need to talk to those people from Enjoy. I think
Enjoy magazine.
Maybe able to, you know.
Have
find
we ever done
technique.
An Overlander story on you guys?
We were going to.
Okay.
Oh, I did.
I don't remember.
Yeah, well,
it's definitely a California Adventure District thing.
Yep. Yeah.
This is what I want to get into. So, okay, Overlanders HQ. Next trip is when?
Sunday.
Third Sunday in April. It is April 16th, I want to say, off the top of my head. Let me look.
It was posted today.
It
do
was
you
posted
remember?
Today.
Well, so many people may be driving, listening in right now for the first time. Tell you what, let's take a last
April
break.
April 16th.
There you go.
Take a last break, and we'll come back, finish up.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Great band. Welcome back. March 29th, Nigel and James, Yvonne. We have our friend Brett from Overlanders HQ.
I'm liking this show because it's given me, I feel inspired. I want to do
it. Well, the whole idea is to inspire people to maybe do something that they haven't done before. If you have a Jeep or a
Well, I'm inspired also because it'll give me an opportunity. You know, I feel guilty, but also it's not a matter of guilt. It's also just the unknown because I don't know anything. But I really would like to see more of our county, you know.
So this is a great opportunity. Yeah. So we're talking about overlanding. We have Brett with us from Overlanders HQ, and it's basically taking your off-road or all-wheel drive vehicle off the beaten path.
I wonder what the rules are if you wanted to just, you know, like my experience, I have my Tundra, but what if I were to just go to Enterprise and rent a four-wheel drive vehicle and use it?
No comment.
I mean, that's what it's designed for, right?
Shame.
Well, I mean, what? Are they going to have a clause you can't take their four-wheel drive rental vehicle on a four-wheel drive?
I think they may have a cleaning fee if it comes back muddy type thing.
Yeah. Well, at least they have to count the wheels when they come back.
You're right.
But this is about taking your vehicle off-road and having some fun with it. In a safe yet adventurous manner. So Brett with Overlanders HQ, every month they do the tours or the convoys, right? And it's kind of cool because you feel like you're part of a group and all of you are caravanning off into the middle of nowhere. And the cool thing about Shasta County is it doesn't take long before you actually feel like you're in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. You can just one ridge over, you don't see anything, and you feel like you're in a whole different world.
Right? All of a sudden, there's no signal, there's no nothing, and it's just you.
I will have a satellite phone in my glove box.
sometimes it won't matter. Have you gone into the Trinities lately?
Yeah, there's some spots even satellite.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Just too much canopy or just, yeah.
If you're deep in a canyon or something, yeah, there's a very good chance you're not getting out.
have you gone into the Trinities at all with your rigs?
We have, yes. So the Trinity Alps, most of that area is wilderness area, so no driving is allowed. It's hiking only. And so a lot of that area...
boo. No, I'm just kidding.
But I think it's good for everybody to have a spot.
There needs to be land where there is no motorized vehicle. Sure.
In our area, what would you say would be some of the more treacherous trails that are accessible and legal to go up on? But some of the trails where you're like, this is hairy stuff right here.
There's some hairy trails in between the northeast side of Lake Shasta and to Iron Canyon Reservoir out of Big Bend. Yeah. That trek there, you're on a ridgeline. My wife actually got out and walked going through some of that. And she's a hardcore.
I'll follow you.
Yeah, so that's one that we haven't taken anybody.
You said ridgeline? I was right there with her.
Where's this? will my truck go over?
Your truck might make it.
Okay, good.
Might. My truck was hanging tires off the edge. Mm. That's why she got out.
Yeah,
there's some sketchy stuff out there, and so it is important to know where you're going.
What you're saying is my lane assist feature won't work.
All that stuff's not going
to
work.
It'll lock it up. The whole truck will stop because it won't be able to see anything. Like, lane? Where's the lane?
And the OHV park,
which one?
Blanking on the name on it, right? Shasta-Chappie OHV. Shasta-Chappie OHV behind the Shasta Dam. Yeah. There's some really good trails out there those are all color-coded, rated for difficulty. And so there's signs posted at all the trailheads letting you know how difficult it is.
So you go over Shasta Dam.
You go over Shasta Dam, drop down, and you're right there at the staging area.
Have you done, I don't know if it's a thing or not. I just remember in our Land Cruiser when I was a kid, and it was hairy then, but I don't, maybe that was just because I was a kid and I didn't realize it, but just the climb up, what is it, Mount Bali, up to the top.
That's a great trail. That trail's been closed since the car fire.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But Whiskeytown has some great trails. Muletown Road, coming south out of Whiskeytown's great.
Shasta Caverns.
So you mentioned your wife, so this is definitely a husband and wife team. I've noticed a lot of couples get into this.
Yes, it's definitely
family affair.
Family activity. It gets kind of boring riding by yourself on the trail all day, because a lot of our trail days are, 8-9 hours on the trail. And that's boring by yourself sometimes.
You start talking to yourself.
Yeah, once you start answering yourself is when you get in trouble.
Yeah.
But, it's a definitely family thing. We have a lot of families where a husband has a rig, a wife has her own rig, and then now their kids are getting their own vehicles. And, you'll have a family have 4 or 5 rigs out there.
That's great.
Ooh, fun.
So how's the business doing?
Oh, we're doing well.
Doing good. Paying the bills?
Paying some of them sometimes.
Yeah.
And the ones that aren't, they're just going to have to wait.
That's good. No, well, we want to promote you. So, Shasta County, if you're listening and you have a Jeep, 4x4, you're thinking about getting one or getting into this, there's a great business on Victor and Cypress called Overlanders HQ. Go in and see Brett and say, hey, I want to go off-road. Mm-hmm. And Brett will say...
Or you can go to the website, right?
Yep.
OverlandersHQ.com.
Okay. And then our YouTube channel, Overlanders HQ Adventures, and then social media.
Seems to be a theme there.
Social media, Facebook and Instagram, Overlanders HQ. We post a lot of info on our social media with upcoming runs, upcoming events.
And I see you have a really cool hat. You have a line of apparel that you sell at the store?
Yep.
That would be a hat that anybody, even if you're not an overlander, it's just cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Cool hat. Cool.
Is it a conversation starter? So, hey, what's overlanding?
It has not started any conversations. I don't get out much. I just go to work and home. But.
Truth. There's the truth.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you see the overlanding activity growing? Do you see it growing in popularity?
Definitely. I see the biggest growth in is those people taking that first step, getting a rack and a tent on their vehicle and then using that at established campsites.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that a lot, a lot more rooftop tents at established campsites. And that's not necessarily what I personally do frequently. Frequently, we're going out to dispersed camping in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of that first step for people, doing what they
the
already
KOA
know.
KOA experience.
Exactly. Doing what they already know with new equipment.
The rooftop tents is a big deal.
Yes.
I've noticed that those companies are doing really well.
For real? I know.
No, I'm serious.
I get fed those ads on social media like crazy.
I checked out one. I talked to you about it, GoFast.
GoFast campers.
Like,
nice.
If you order one now, they're, next install is in July.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wait.
Months out.
Yeah. Right? So, very cool.
Get
what about
them
bear stories? I want to know the, stories when you get out
the
there.
The bear stories?
Bear stories? seeing bears is my favorite thing. It's one of the big reasons we go. I like seeing bears.
Mm-hmm.
We have never had an issue with a bear in the camp.
Any Bigfoots?
No big feet.
Hmm.
Not yet.
I haven't gone yet. Because I'm there.
bears come through the camp frequently. Just about every trip we
have. Have you seen? So I know in Shasta County there is an elk population. Have you ever run into elk yet?
Not in Shasta County.
Okay.
In Mendocino County, down at Lake Pillsbury.
Okay.
Woke up to herd of elk on our campsite.
Super cool, yeah.
No.
I'm still, that's my big thing is I want to see the elk somewhere in Shasta County.
Like, there is really cool. Not much better than waking up to hear an elk bugle.
Bugle, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And something about some gray wolves here not too long ago.
They've come in and out from the north. Yeah, I don't know if they've stuck around. They were tracking them for a while.
See, this is where a rooftop tent comes in very handy.
It does.
Because you're like 8 feet off the ground. Like, yep,
get off
go ahead.
The ground.
That's just picking area for Bigfoot, though.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, you got cherry picked right here off the
hot
top.
Hot pocket.
I know.
That's funny. Well, love what you're doing. Want to find a way.
Congratulations on your hard work and it starting to move and pay off for you, and we're going to be big fans for you.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you guys.
So we're going to – we have two more minutes, so we're going to switch here because the same topic we have with everybody.
Every guest.
Every guest.
At
because, our community's changed, right? We have a lot of people move out, a lot of people move in. So we have a lot of newbies in Shasta County, and you see that in Joy and others. And so one of the things we like to ask people who have been here for a long time is what are some of your favorite places to go eat? If you had to, some of your favorite places besides home.
So your overlanders are staying one more night. They've gone great. They've given you a big tip, and now you're going to say where you should go eat. Try this out.
And Brett says?
Carlene's.
Oh, that's a great place.
We love Carlene.
Yeah.
Personally, we just love her. And they have amazing food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been to Carlene's?
I think I have.
That's a no.
I would hope you'd remember it.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
Well, they've made a lot of really great changes, too, over time. Right? We just were there not too long ago, mm-hmm. and they had made some changes. But we had a great
meal.
Yeah.
We had people on last week, if you haven't tried it. Been there yet? Because they changed the name, so I think that kind of threw things off.
But Charlou's, yeah.
Used to be Mary's Pizza Shack.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I brought home like $120 worth of food.
Did they tell you where the name came from?
That's his,
Charlie.
Charlie is his, it was his nickname.
Oh,
the
Charlie?
Owner.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's cute.
People call him Charlou.
Oh.
So we need to talk him into making an Overlander's menu.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great idea.
I pick up the Overlander.
The Overlander pizza. It's going to have big boulders of, sausage on it. And
that'd be cool.
Yeah. Pizza that lasts
little mountains.
2 days.
Yeah.
Cheese mountains.
Yeah, cheese mountains, right?
Cool. Yeah. Any other restaurant tips for people that you like to go to?
I like that you said Carlou's.
Carlou's?
Carlene's. Because you've got a sophisticated palate, my friend.
Been around the world a couple times. Let's see. We eat out just about every day.
I know. It's those late nights at work. We understand.
Yeah. See, isn't it great? You can talk to some guy about off-roading for an hour, and then it comes to restaurants, boom. Listen, Brett, we love you.
Yeah.
We want to support you, and we'll
appreciate
see
it.
You next week.
All right.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.